Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen is teaching through the Bible with a lesson each weekday. Are you anxious about your future? In today's passage, Paul reminds us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But as believers, we have no reason to fear. Our faith in Christ should prevent us from being consumed by fear. We're to live alert, sober, and engaged, trusting that God holds our future.
If you do a word search online for keywords like fear or being afraid, you're going to get millions of results. Now, many of the results are about fears of things that will probably not happen to somebody. For instance, many people are afraid to fly on an airplane, but I've read that the chances of being in a plane accident are 1 in 13 million. But get this, your chances of being struck by lightning are 1 in 2 million. So you might not want to go outside. Here's another one. Your chances of being bitten by a dog are 1 in 137,000. But your chances of being hurt while mowing your lawn are 1 in 3,000. Well, I suppose that means you should, you know, stop mowing your lawn and get a cat instead of a dog. Well, people who know me won't believe I just said that, so I didn't mean it. Now, fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. You teach your children to be afraid of running out on the street or touching a hot stove. But living in fear is entirely different. Being consumed by the fear of the future or fearful over what might happen in life, well, that's spiritually harmful. It's distracting. In fact, it's distrusting the Lord's provision and plan for your life. Now, living by faith doesn't eliminate every fearful thought. We might struggle with fear at times, which is why the Bible encourages Christians not to be fearful or anxious. But our faith in Christ won't allow us to be consumed or governed by fear. Living by faith simply means trusting the God who holds the future in His hands. Well, as we sail back into 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul has just comforted the church with this truth of a future rapture, and that's when Christ returns to gather to Himself the church. Rapture literally snatched them away. Now, here in chapter 5, Paul provides some more details beginning here in verse 1. Paul writes, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Now, obviously, the believers here in Thessalonica were wondering about the coming judgment of God. Paul essentially says that no one knows when that day will arrive. It's going to come like a thief. Well, a thief never phones ahead to tell you when he's arriving. Now, what is this particular day of the Lord Paul refers to here? Well, in the Old Testament, the expression always referred to divine judgment. Ezekiel 13, Joel chapter 2, Amos chapter 5, and more. Now, in the New Testament, the day of the Lord refers to God's future judgments. Specifically, it describes the judgment of God during the tribulation period, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that follows the rapture when the church is taken away. And you have the judgment of God at the end of the millennial kingdom 1,000 years later, and Peter describes that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, Paul is using the phrase, the day of the Lord, in this passage in connection with the tribulation that follows the rapture. Now, the rapture can happen at any moment, and this is why Paul writes here that the day of the Lord, that is the judgment of God upon earth during the tribulation, well, that can come like a thief. That could occur at any moment, like the arrival of a thief to your home. Paul writes further here in verse 3, "Sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." In other words, once God's judgment begins to fall on the human race during the tribulation, there's no stopping it, and there will be no avoiding it. So in these opening verses of chapter 5, Paul wants believers to be enlightened. They don't need to fear the tribulation period. Jesus is going to remove the church as promised from the wrath to come, the wrath of the tribulation. But Paul wants believers not only to be enlightened, but to be engaged. He calls us here in verse 5, children of light, as opposed to those or children of the darkness. Then he writes in verse 6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Now, in this case, Paul doesn't refer to sleep as a reference to death, as he did back in chapter 4. He now uses it to describe believers who might become sluggish or apathetic as they just sort of drift through life, just waiting to go to heaven. No, Paul says, we're to be awake, alert, we're to be sober, that is controlled in our thinking. Now here in verse 7, Paul contrasts the believer with the unbeliever, and they're wandering in the dark like people who are drunk. Paul is challenging Christians not to adopt their sinful lifestyles, but to stay sober, that is in control of their thought processes, alert. Now, Paul writes in verse 8 that we need to be dressed for engagement. He writes to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, you might notice here how Paul refers again to these three virtues of faith, hope, and love, our faith in God, our love for God and others, and our hope, which is our anticipation of the Lord's coming. Now, here in verses 9 through 11, the apostle tells us not only to be enlightened by the biblical timeline, to be engaged in serving the Lord, but also to be encouraged about tomorrow, the future. We don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't need to start reading our horoscope, or we don't need to see who's in control. They're in the seats of power. We know that God is. In fact, Paul writes here in verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is referring to the wrath of God that will be poured out during the tribulation, during the day of the Lord. Now, we're not promised freedom from suffering during our lifetime, but no believer will experience the judgment of God. And that's because Jesus experienced divine wrath on your behalf and mine as believers when he hung on the cross. Now, as his true followers, we'll never need to fear the eternal wrath of God either. That's all covered by our Lord. Now, as Paul draws this letter to a close, he gives a list of exhortations for believers to apply to their lives. He begins here in verse 12 by saying, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Beloved, I can tell you after pastoring for now more than 40 years, these people are rare in the church today, but they're very encouraging to those who lead them. Now, here's a really quick list of the commands that Paul gives us, starting here in verse 13 all the way down to verse 22. Be at peace among yourselves, verse 13. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all, verse 14. Don't repay evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another, that's verse 15. Rejoice always, verse 16. Pray without ceasing, verse 17. What that means is that you just carry on a conversation with the Lord throughout your day. And while you're at it, Paul writes in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Now Paul goes on to write in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Now that doesn't mean you're going to lose the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder that the fire of the Holy Spirit's influence or impact, so to speak, through your life, certainly through a church, well, that can be put out by the cold waters of legalism and disobedience and criticism and disunity. Paul then writes here in verse 20, do not despise prophecies. In other words, don't reject the revelation of God, which is preached from Scripture. Well, now Paul wraps up this life-changing list here in verses 21 and 22 by writing this, test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. What that means is that every doctrine, every lifestyle choice you might be wondering about, well, that ought to be tested. That ought to be approved by the Word of God. Finally, after sending his greetings and asking that his letter be read to everybody, Paul ends with a brief prayer He ends it by writing here that he trusts that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with them. And we end our wisdom journey through this wonderful letter by quoting, as we always do, another prayer that Paul closed with in his letter to the Corinthians. Here it is. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called this lesson Living by Fear or by Faith. The message is clear. Believers are not destined for wrath, but for salvation through Jesus Christ. So, live alert and engaged, trusting God's plan for your future. Your faith, hope, and love should define your life as you await the Lord's return. Encourage others with these truths. Remember, God is in control, and you can trust Him with your future. Keep digging into the Scriptures and living by faith. Visit wisdomonline.org for more insights. Have you ever wished you had a personal Bible scholar at your fingertips? Well, now you do. We're excited to introduce a revolutionary resource that'll transform your Bible study experience. We have a chatbot available right on our website that will instantly search all of Stephen's teaching. What sets this tool apart? Well, it's specifically designed to search Stephen's library of lessons and messages, delivering answers directly from his trusted teachings. No more sifting through unreliable internet sources. Get biblically sound responses every time. Whether you're wrestling with a complex theological concept or seeking practical guidance about your everyday life, our chatbot is ready to provide instant, insightful answers. From deep questions to simple curiosities, no question is too big or too small. This tool is available on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Just click the blue icon on the bottom of every page at wisdomonline.org. We've rolled out new technology that allows our website to be experienced in multiple languages. And the exciting thing is that this technology will work with every language on earth. So, as God enables us to develop more languages, we'll be able to present those to a global audience. Visit wisdomonline.org to see what I'm talking about. Then join us back here next time on this wisdom journey.